Good morning. In preparation for the study of the Word of God, your first shift is a mental shift. The Word of God illuminates. It cuts to the heart of every matter. It penetrates right down to your very thoughts. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God allows you to compare your thoughts to God's thoughts so you can live by God's ways and not by your own ways. It is as effective and as relevant today as when it was first in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity past, as effective as it was when it was breathed into the pens of the human authors of Scripture by the God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second shift before you study the Word of God is the spiritual shift. And during this spiritual shift, you offer control of your soul to God the Holy Spirit. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are commanded to allow the Holy Spirit to fill up our deficiencies. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but keep on being filled with the Spirit." Thus we have a choice: to be controlled by the thinking of the world, or to be controlled by the third member of a triune Godhead during this Bible study. And now is the time to make your choice and to announce it privately to your God. So please take a few moments in silence to reflect, to open your heart to the truth, and to fix the eyes of your soul on the author and perfecter of your faith, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The opening song is "Word of God Speak."
I'm finding myself.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to be reflections of your will to a lost and dying world. And help us to keep foremost in our mind the importance of biblical study to our spiritual growth. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. You're listening to lesson 410 of the Angelic Conflict series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Today's study, the Creator's will, is that you live Christianity. The Creator's will is that you live Christianity. Please stand. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, and especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those in our own congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. A few announcements. Mark your calendar. The next Lord's Supper celebration is next Sunday, January 16th. I moved it to June already. January 16th, 2013. Barah Ministries radio program, KXXT, 1010 a.m. in Phoenix, which broadcasts on Fridays, 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m., and rebroadcasts on myfamilyvaluesradio.net under Click to Listen. The letter G, God Cares for You, which is the name of the program, will start its recordings again this Thursday. So next Friday, there'll be a new program, and there'll be new programs every week after that. So thanks very much for your financial support of the program. It costs $400 a month. This year, the radio program will be evangelistic in nature, and this year and the next 2 years. Since we don't have an evangelist, we're going to have to count on the radio ministry to be our evangelistic arm. And so we'll be structuring the messages to invite people to study with us. Check out the lessons. This will be a way for me to sneak an extra Bible study a week to help you as well, both to learn and to evangelize to unbelievers. What I'm going to be teaching is the book of John. And the book of John is about the deity of Christ. And so I'll select a piece of the books and go through all 20 of them. I think there are 20 books in John. And so that should take me at least 2 years to get through those 20 books. So we're going to look for other radio show opportunities as well in Phoenix. So if you know of any and you could let me know, that would be great. And we may look also in some other markets and see if it makes sense around our resident congregation to put radio around our non-resident congregation centers to see if it makes any sense to get on the radio in those areas, like Lake Ariel, Pennsylvania. I bet you the program on a station in Lake Ariel wouldn't cost $400 a month, probably cost $40 a month, and we could be on there. So anyway, that's where we're going with the radio ministry. So this will be a good fourth hour for you. Well, that's actually 27 minutes, but it'll feel like an hour. But it'll give you a chance to learn some evangelistic things. And the book of John is just fantastic. I spent most of December starting the work on that, and it was just fun thinking about the deity of Christ. A couple of belated wishes. A happy birthday to Gabrielle Inman, whose birthday was December 13th. She's out in our Chicago congregation. Actually, I'm giving too much credit. Sandwich, Illinois, right? Which wherever that is, right? It's like BFE. But the Bears didn't make the playoffs. Sorry, Gabrielle. And also, Cody O'Donnell graduated from Marine Corps Basic Training on December 21st, so congratulations to him. Hoorah! Happy birthday to Deanna Lemon in our non-resident congregation. She had a birthday on January 2nd. She's 22. Sneaked one in on me. I said, hey, are you 21? Nope, 22. LOL. So that sneaked up on me. Next thing you know, she'll be graduating for college or something. So next, let's take the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark to do that. Oh, I missed one thing. Wait, here's the other thing. Happy anniversary to Norbert and Rita, 56 years. Yeah, he just told me that. He said, three happy years, 56 total. He didn't really say that, but that used to be my marriage gag, so I just thought I'd blame it on him. All right, let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark. Sorry.
It's kind of the equivalent with my dad, three happy years and 22 years total. Just kidding. So, good morning. minus the bitterness in the room. So God provides Bavod Auction through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for any of the Bavod Auction here at BarahMinistries.com, which allows anyone, anywhere, to freely receive of the Word of God. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. The Bible calls all of us as believers in Christ to be fishers of men. The Bible says in Matthew 4:18 through 19, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" As fishers of men, we're responsible for exposing people in our proximity to the truth of the Word of God. We're responsible for inviting people to hear the good news about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Barah Ministries truly has two real functions: to share the gospel message with those who have not yet chosen to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share the truth about Christ with people who have chosen to believe. As fishers of men, we are called to do the same thing. We are called to share the gospel message with unbelievers and to expose other believers to a way to grow in their relationship with the Lord. As believers, we lose sight of this. The offering messages are not for the purpose of motivating you or inspiring you to give more financially, because everyone here graciously gives what they choose to give. However, the offering that we take does support a ministry whose sole purpose is to be a fisher of men. God absolutely provides the hearers to this ministry, but don't forget that He uses us to spread His word. If our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is as important to us as we say it is, and if this ministry is as real as we believe it is, then we should have no problem inviting others that are in our proximity to share in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we'd be shocked to see how many people are waiting to be invited and waiting to share in something real, waiting to share in something truthful, and waiting to share in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I experienced this when I was at UC San Diego. Now, I barely remember the times that I had on the basketball team. I barely remember the parties that I went to, which means they're a pretty good party. And I barely remember, you know, the things that I learned. But what I do absolutely remember is all the times that I had evangelizing to my peers. And three of my best friends were with me at UCSD and studied with this ministry. And that's what I'm most proud of, is the opportunity I had to share my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ with them. So remember to step up to your calling as fishers of men and invite people to come here and listen to the truth and the good news about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I would challenge all of us to start next week. I think next week this place should be packed, and that would force us to get a bigger location. So as you give, remember to do so while in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, because this honors and celebrates the greatest gift of all, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks.
Light of your
Welcome back. Today's study, the Creator's will is that you live Christianity. The Creator's will is that you live Christianity. So just before we get into that, I just want to echo the sentiments of Deacon Elliot Clark. And he did a fantastic job with the offerings during the time that he's been doing those. Today was his last day doing that. Deacon Caleb is going to come back and show us all that he's learned on his little relaxation time away. So he'll be giving the next several messages. But thank you, Deacon Elliot. I really think that you would be shocked at how many people would come if you invited them. I think you'd be shocked. And I don't think that Christianity Expressed doesn't invite people to come to church. But don't invite them to come to church. Invite them to come to learn about the Lord. You know, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to have a negative reaction in their soul, of course. And, you know, the lady, Liz, was talking to me. She said, yeah, I checked out your website because I wanted to know what you believe. I said, what difference does it possibly make what I believe? All that matters is if I'm teaching that. If what I believe isn't exactly consistent with that, who's got the problem, this or me? She said, you. I said, correct. I said, it's not hard to detect lies when you're reading somebody's website. If somebody's got a doctrinal statement up, you can absolutely see where the left turn is. Faith in Christ, water baptism. Okay, got it. You can see the left turn. It's not hard to recognize. So let them have that skepticism. That's their right. Nobody has to accept the things that you say, but they'll come. And then let me turn them off with one of my off-color jokes, and then at least you did your job.
That's why we don't bring anybody. If you'd stop saying fart, we could bring our friends.
It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to stop saying fart, so your friends better like that word. All right, today's study, the Creator's will is that you live Christianity. And this lesson is actually a setup for the next several lessons. I want you to really zoom your mind into this. Now, this is the third lesson of the day, and especially for those of you who come early to the 7:45, this is the third hour of three, and the concentration starts to wane, so I'll entertain you as much as I can during this lesson, but this is the setup lesson for the next several lessons. So you're going to be seeing this over and over again, because I'm going to use this lesson to really make a point concerning where we're taking the discussion of will, because will is really critical in your life. So your soul is involved in a battle between two kingdoms, a battle between two sovereigns, a battle between two beings who function with authority. One being has genuine authority, one being has counterfeit authority, and your soul always has to decide what's the truth and what's the lie. Your soul is the battleground on which these two kingdoms fight. The issue of this battle is not religious. The issue of this battle is not political. The issue of this battle is spiritual. Ephesians 6:12 says so. Our struggle is not against human beings. It's not against souls and sin natures. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, against powers, against world forces of the kingdom of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The things that happen to you, the fact that you set New Year's resolutions and then you laughed it off and said, but those start on the second, right? Ha ha ha. The fact that you did that is a spiritual principle. That is not a willpower issue, as you may think. You may think, why don't I have the willpower to keep a promise that I make to myself? That's not a willpower issue. It's a spiritual issue. You have forces working against you, one of them resident in your very own body, the old self. And that's something that's important for you to understand. Because once you understand that, you can get off your own back, that there's another part of you that doesn't want anything to do with God. That old self in you wants nothing to do with God, hates God, is completely antagonistic to God. And until you die physically, you're going to be carrying around that hater inside of you. But there's a life that's bigger than that. Your soul is not your flesh. It's not the sin nature. It's not the old self. And the new self, if you're a believer in Christ, is not the old self. And so there are things inside of you that can completely overcome what's going on with that world system side of yourself. There's another part of you that rejects the coat hangers that are hanging in your soul that you know good and well are false, but they're comfortable. You leave them hanging there because it's a lot easier to leave them hanging there than it is to pick them up, throw them out, and never think about them again. And so you'll settle for that. But the Bible says no. The Bible says no. We didn't create you to settle. We created you for the newness of life, to be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's what it says, doesn't it? Or am I making that up? Is that Rory's verse or is that in your Bible? That you be filled up to all the fullness of self. Speak. Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
All right. So that's intended for you. It's not a concept. Your soul has been chosen by the sovereign of the universe, specifically to be a part of the resolution of the angelic conflict. That's an honor beyond belief. The sovereign beings of each of these kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, are vying for control of your soul. You're important, even if you don't think so. In freedom, which is the right of self-determination, you get to choose whom you will serve. Now, if you're an unbeliever, you have two choices. One of those choices is self-worship. Like 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, self-worship. Here's what it says. It says, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. When are the last days? Last days is an idiom. It means every generation. In every generation, realize this, that in every generation, difficult days will come. Are we in difficult days right now? Yeah, you're starting to get old, see? And when you start getting old, you start talking about those kids. You believe what these kids are doing? How many of you, raise your hand, show of hands, have you said that in your head at least in the last 6 months? Raise your hand. Okay, you are old, okay? I just need to settle that for you. You are officially old when you start talking about those kids. But that's what this says. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. This was true in 90 AD when the canon of Scripture closed. And this is true in 2013. Difficult times will come. What difficult times? Men, all mankind, not the male of the species, all mankind will be lovers of self, self-worship, lovers of money, because they will think that that is the solution to their problems. My mom thought that her security was money. If you wanted to jack my mom up real quick, just mess with her money. She used to make me bring her a receipt for gum. Mom, it's 5 cents. Bring a receipt. She was very, very non-emotional. Just bring the receipt. The worst experience of my life was going through my mom's stuff after she died. She had an electric bill from 1932 with her canceled check stapled to it or whatever they did in those days. It was unbelievable. Her receipt. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Ungrateful, that's college pukes whose parents are paying for their college. Ungrateful. 2 Timothy 3:3. Unloving, irreconcilable, you can't get to them. Malicious, gossips, malicious gossips, without self-control. I saw a couple of ladies on a boat recently, and their whole function the whole time on the boat was criticizing the other women. So I went and broke up their party just to be mean. That's what I do on cruises. Break up malicious gossip parties. Without self-control, brutal, haters of divine good, 2 Timothy 3:4, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, sucked in by one of the eight temptations of the cosmic system. 2 Timothy 3:5, holding to a superficial form of godliness. What's that? Religion. A superficial form of eusebia, a superficial form of the spiritual life. And what is the superficiality of religion? They just take the bad part, sin, and ram it down your throat. You sinned, you made a mistake, you sinned, you're a bad person. God doesn't forgive you, he's not going to let you in heaven unless you make it up to him. You got to redeem yourself. Holding to a superficial form of godliness, although they even deny that superficial form of godliness is power. And it says, avoid such men as these. It's not talking to Christians. We got to help such people as these. Although we want to avoid such people as these, we've got to enlighten such people as these. Can you see self-worship, the self-worship lifestyle, in operation every day? Do you see it with your own eyes? See, we can look around in Satan's kingdom here on planet Earth and see the manifestations of this self-focused lifestyle at every turn. We don't have to look any further than our mobile phones. The obsession with electronic devices as our friends, which in truth is the reflection of a self-obsessed lifestyle, has crossed the line into pathetic. Pathetic. Staring at this, tapping glass all day. And see, you know, there's certain people in the congregation that I don't always think I'm getting to. You know? Now I stand here and I look out. See, it's a whole different perspective up here. I think I'm going to take a picture of you guys one of these days, and I'll put it on the back wall here so you can see what I see when I look out. But there's certain of you, I don't even think I'm getting to you, right? You know, one of those guys is Mike Embry. I'm thinking, you know, I don't even get to Mike, you know? So the other day, Mike picked me up from the airport. And we're driving home, and Mike missed me. He missed me bad, right, because he's my golf buddy, and he missed me. And you can just kind of see it on his face. He's just so happy I'm home. He was thinking, yeah, well, we got to get out this week. And I said, yeah, Mike, we're going to get out. He said, no, really, we're going to get out. I said, okay, man, calm down, relax. But I had my phone in my hand, and I was text messaging as we were talking. And he was irritated by it. And he didn't say it. He didn't say, you know, put the phone down. I'm irritated by what you're doing. But you could see in his eyes, I saw it, he was going. He was talking to me, but there was this program right in the back of his head. Yeah, you talk all that smack up from the pulpit, but now you over here text messaging. Well, see, he just happened to catch me in a knockdown, drag-out fight with my brother when he picked me up, and that's what was going on. And I didn't tell you that, Mike, but now I'm telling you right in front of the whole group. But I admired it that he was bothered by it, right? Because he should be bothered by it because it's not personal. I mean, he didn't have to come pick me up at the airport. He came all that way. He said, I want to talk. I don't want to watch you text message. I like that. He didn't want to watch the self-worship lifestyle. Well, those of you who have kids, do you just watch their self-focused lifestyle? Or you do like Mike does, you just kind of want to interrupt it? I have friends who are on the dating scene, and I get to hear their frustrations about their encounter with the self-worship lifestyle. And it really stirs the compassion in my soul because relationships don't start with friendships anymore. They go right to sex. And now it's a relationship. But it's not a real relationship just because you had sex, right? But there's no friendship to fall back on. Anything goes south, it's over. So what is it, 2 months, 3 months max? Then on to the next. And then 5 years later, about 30 of those, you have no idea how to relate to another human being. That's self-worship. That's the self-worship lifestyle. That's what it looks like. What about the Satan worship lifestyle in operation, which is another option that unbelievers have? The Satan worship lifestyle. We look at this and we say, oh, come on, nobody. First of all, there is no Satan. I don't even know where you got that from, but, you know, the Bible, you know, this was written like 2,000 years ago. It's kind of out of date. You know, I mean, even Dale Carnegie's book was written in 1939. Nobody really pays any attention to that anymore. It's kind of old. You know, they're always upgrading the stories in Carnegie. None of these stories have been upgraded. So this is kind of out of date. Yeah, no, it isn't. Satan is alive and well in heaven, in the Supreme Court of heaven, arguing the case for the appeal trial of the angelic conflict and accusing you every day, believers in Christ, of what? Yes? Sinning? No! Satan's a genius. He knows your sins were taken care of at the cross. He's not accusing you of sinning in heaven. That would be a simple story, right? He sinned. He's just like me. Shut up. I paid for it at the cross. There's Jesus Christ. Shut up. I paid for it at the cross. He's not going to do that. You know what he's accusing you of? He's accusing you of not taking advantage of the new self-life. I said, look at these idiots. All they're obsessed with is the life that I have. They don't even care about that new self that you gave them. They don't even know what it looks like, this new self that you gave them. They don't want anything to do with it. All I got to do is prop up a pastor like Joel Osteen and his $43 million ministry, and they flock to his pantheistic viewpoint. Flock to it. And he rejects you totally. He's probably not even a believer, and they flock to it. That's the accusation. The accusation is us leaving unclaimed this magnificent Zoe life. That's the accusation. So when we look at Satan worship, we say, well, first of all, Satan doesn't even exist, does he? And nobody's really doing Satan worship today, are they? Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And how do you know they're doing that life? John 8:44 says it. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. What are the desires of your father? Prosperity, health, success. That's not the Christian way of life. We get beatings. We get beatings as Christians. Yeah, and you know, there's prosperity in there. But there's adversity in there too. Hello. Yes, I know this is a new year and I know you had resolutions. You have cancer. Thanks for coming in as soon as you did. We caught it early. Your chances of living are 40%. Somebody in this congregation is going to have that conversation this week. And maybe it'll be me. I'm going to the doctor on Tuesday. Maybe it'll be me. So if it is me, let me tell you this. I don't care. I don't care what it is that God has planned for me this year because I know that he's already cared for it. Do you? So yeah, there's Satan worship. You're of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a soul murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And whenever he speaks, he's speaking a lie and he's speaking from his own nature, which is only lies because he is a liar and the father, the birther of all lies. All lies come from him. So you can see self-worship or Satan worship around you. It's indifference and antagonism toward God, and it's everywhere. Ever ask the people around you one simple question? What role does God play in your life? I challenge you to do that this week. Pick five people that are closest to you in your periphery and ask them that question. What role does God play in your life? And then stand back, because the reaction will be like a fart in a space suit. I told you the fart was coming back around. It will be uncomfortable for you beyond belief. And I mean it. I want you to ask the people who are in your periphery. Jenny, I want you to ask Emily that simple question. What role does God play in your life? That's why so many of us don't evangelize. We don't evangelize because we try to sneak up on evangelizing by approaching it indirectly. And when you approach it indirectly, the same thing happens every time. You get your fingers slammed in the door. And then if you get your fingers slammed in a car door, how interested are you in putting your fingers back in a car door? You're not. Discomfort with evangelism is not an effective excuse, however, for not evangelizing. We are still ambassadors for Christ. Ever start playing a Bible lesson in front of your friends just for the pleasure of seeing their souls go off like popcorn with irrelevant questions to mask their discomfort? Because that's always fun. If you're looking for something sadistic to do, offer a friend of yours a ride and then have a Bible study on in the car. What are they going to do? They ain't got a car. What are they going to do? Get out? And then watch their souls go off. Take a 5-minute break.
Thank you.
I did. I'm the master of hyperbole. Oh, welcome back. So, for the unbeliever, they have to choose sides. The unbeliever can choose self-worship or Satan worship, two sides of the same lousy coin, or they can choose the cross. And for us, talking to unbelievers, the issue is really simple. John closes out his book by saying that in the 20th chapter, 31st verse, he says, many of the things that we could have written about the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't write here. But these things that have been written so that you might believe two things, that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you might have eternal life in his name. Awesome. John was the disciple, the apostle that was described as the one whom Jesus loved. I think he took a little artistic license in writing of the book. My man. But he actually wrote five books. He wrote John, he wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation. So I don't think that kind of task is given to somebody that you don't consider to be your friend. But the issue in evangelism is really simple, and it can be adequately captured by us as believers in five verses. First, Romans 5:8, God the Father demonstrated his unconditional love for the godless heathen that I talked about in today's first lesson. That while we were yet sinners, while we were spiritually dead unbelievers, Christ died as a sin substitute for us. Christ is not judgmental about the people that he would die for. He died for all. And Romans 5:8 captures that. God the Father was not selective in the provision that he made of his son. He said, well, he didn't say, I'm going to do this for some people, but others down there, I'm not going to do it for them. I don't really like them that much. I don't want them in my neighborhood. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. That's salvation. It's simple. It's not believe and be baptized. It's not believe because when you believe, you are baptized by the only baptism, the baptism by God the Holy Spirit, the only one that counts. It's not believe and add anything to it. It's believe, faith alone in Christ alone as the ticket to eternal life. Why Christ? John 14:6. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way to salvation. I am the functional words there. I am. I always existed as the means to salvation. I am. I always have existed as the truth of through the Word of God. I am. I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. Look what he gives you. He gives you salvation. He gives you his word, and then he gives you a life beyond your wildest dreams, the Zoe life. See, Jesus Christ was either telling the truth or he was the worst liar that ever was. There's no in between. He's not equivocating here. He's not short-stopping it. He's saying, I'm the man. It's me or you're dead. That's what he's saying. Where are you going to put your life's money? Where are you going to put your soul's bet? Well, I'm going to bet on Satan, I'm going to bet on myself, or I'm going to bet on this knucklehead guy who believes he's the way. Those are the only three bets. What's your bet? And do you have the courage to say that to somebody? Oh, so you think your way is the only way? You're absolutely right, I do. You know why I think that? Because it is. You know why I know? Because the sovereign of the universe said so in John 14:6. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through believing in me. Period. No equivocation. It can't be. Okay. So now because you believe that, then that negates what I just said, right? It doesn't. It's either true or false. You got to make a decision. Isn't that awesome? Can you share it with that kind of courage? Will you stand up for the king of the universe like that? Because he'll stand up for you. He stood up for you when it was time to decide whether you were a piece of grass or a person. Yeah, you didn't think about that, did you? Now, can you stand up for him? And this court's still out on some of you, I'm telling you that. One of these days you're going to lay in your bed and you will wake up and the only thing that's going to be there is this tuft of grass in your beds. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, the fourth verse that we can use with unbelievers. For by efficacious grace you have been saved. What is efficacious grace? That is God the Holy Spirit making your positive expression of a desire to believe in Christ effective for salvation. By efficacious grace, you have been saved through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that grace, that faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves. You didn't even have it when you came here. You didn't have grace. You didn't have faith. You didn't have salvation. All of those are gifts from God, even your faith. Not because of works, so that no one may boast before the justice of God. You will not stand before the justice of God and say to him, well, I don't know whether your program was all that good because I saved myself. And that's what the people who think that only one-third of the angels don't get. There's this verse that says no one's going to boast before the justice of God. And they're saying, no, there are perfect angels who didn't fall. So those guys can boast then. But this says nobody can boast. All right, so now we have a contradiction. What am I going to believe? Am I going to believe you or am I going to believe that? I'm going to believe that. Not going to believe you. And Acts 4:12 makes it crystal clear. There is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved except the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. I love that. So the issues... For the issue for unbelievers is the cross. What think ye about the Messiah? What think ye about the Christ? Here's what John 3:36 says. Anyone who believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not see eternal life in heaven. But the wrath of God, everlasting life in the lake of fire, abides on him. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, you've already chosen sides. Joshua 24:15 says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me, Joshua, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Commitment. For the believer in Christ, the course is clear. The choice has been made. Freedom has been spent. We serve the one and only sovereign Lord, the King of the universe, the ultimate authority. We're in an unbreakable relationship with him. We cannot lose our salvation under any circumstance once we've been placed in union with Christ. And we're placed in union with Christ at the moment of faith alone and Christ alone. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation, no white throne judgment for those who are in union with Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, you're in union with Christ. You're saved once for all time. The challenge believers in Christ faced, and indeed the reason we engage in biblical study, is not only to learn knowledge, but also to not let our learning stop there. We learn most when we are effective at executing the things that we are learning. And the best time to execute what we're learning is when... Deacon Elliott, immediately. We do not come to Bible study simply to gather information. So for us, the choice is choose a lifestyle. God's will for believers in Christ is first that we learn, be in the know. Next, that we endure trials to grow. Next, to examine our own progress, to ask ourselves, does it show? If you're growing and it doesn't show, you ain't growing. Simple as that. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by means of God the Holy Spirit, and you can't carry out the desires of the flesh. So When we choose a sovereign as believers in Christ, we choose sides in the angelic conflict. We chose God as our sovereign. For believers in Christ, we chose the kingdom of God over the kingdom of darkness. And as choosers of the kingdom of God, believers in Christ are requested to learn their God's game plan. And that's what it means to be in the know. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, grow in the sphere of grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through biblical study. Know. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. By means of a choice to exercise genuine humility, we choose to sit under a spiritual chain of command. God, his word, a pastor, a congregation, biblical knowledge. To hear God's predetermined approach to the angelic conflict. In the classroom of biblical study, God the Holy Spirit teaches us a lifestyle of divine thought that puts us in the know. God the Holy Spirit teaches us how to live in our new nature. There it is. You have a soul with a left and a right lobe, the nous and the cardia. You have an old self in the cell structure of your body that is constantly tempting you to think in carnal condition, to think carnally. And you have a new self that is constantly offering you enabling power. Where are you faced? Are you listening to this? There's some people who just love it. They consider it a badge of honor that they're listening to this crap. And they think they're special because they're doing it. They're contrarians. Oh, yeah, I'm special because I'm doing this. You're nothing because you're doing that. That is not special. It's pathetic. And everybody around you is telling you it's pathetic, and you aren't listening because you're dead of hearing, dull of hearing. You don't want to hear the truth. You think you're different. You're not. You're one of the herd. You blend in with the other sheep in the herd, the ones that are going to the slaughter. Galatians 5:16 says this, walk by means of the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, and you will not, in fact, cannot carry out the desires of the flesh. Next, God wants us to endure trials, which means to grow. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Grow. Experience the Word of God under pressure in Satan's kingdom. I got a great analogy coming up for you. Oh, yeah. James chapter 1, verse 21. Here it is. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, the old self, putting aside all filthiness, putting aside all that remains of wickedness, in humility, start the turn. See, put that aside. Now start the turn. That's the renewing of biblical thought in the knowledge place. In all humility, receive the word implanted. That's be in the know. And what happens? It's able to save your soul. Why? Because it will turn you to the new self life. James 1:22. Prove yourselves in that new self life to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who then go out and turn right back to the world, thus deluding themselves. You come in here to pretend like you care about the Word of God, and then you go right back out into Satan's kingdom and think just like all of his minions do. That is not a Christian. That's a pathetic excuse for a Christian. You'll still go to heaven, but you have forfeited the greatness of being in union with Christ. For what? For that, it's not worth it. James 1:23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, and all believers are, first class condition if in the Greek, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. That's what you do at Bible class. You come in here, I say stuff to you. When I say stuff to you that is in the word of God and it indicts your lifestyle, you should be smiling. You should be so happy. You should say, you know, Pastor said today, he said, I got all these coat hangers in my soul. That was funny, man. That's not what we do. Can't believe it. How did that happen? How did I get fooled? No, just laugh, take the coat hanger off, and throw it out. That's all. Should be delightful to you that you found that out. You'd be so much lighter. I had to carry all that crap around. So much lighter. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror when you come to Bible class. And then once he's looked at himself and gone outside back into Satan's kingdom, what does he do? Immediately forgotten everything he learned about what kind of person he was. He said, I'll show that pastor. He thinks I got coat hangers. When I come back in there, I'm going to have a coat rack. Okay. James 1:25, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, in Bible class, the law of liberty, and abides by it, obedient life, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man, not male, this person who is part of mankind, will be blessed in what he does. You know what that is? Here it is. As a mentor, I have some great advice for people that are proteges. And you know what I want them to do? I just want them to do it. That's all. You know what I want you to do after you hear this stuff? Put it to work. That's all. Because I know that if you do that, what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed in what you do. That means that it's going to work out for you. That means you're going to be the star in your own movie. Academy Award. I'd just like to thank the Academy for this great life I have. That's what it means. We learn about the kingdom of God in the classroom, but we execute God's plan in Satan's kingdom of darkness. We voluntarily obey the doctrines we learn from God in the classroom, and then we test their efficacy in Satan's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 says, momentary lightweight affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. We're not looking for prosperity only. We're not following the pantheistic prosperity gospel. While we look not at the things which are seen, the details of life, but at the things which are not seen, the doctrines of the Word of God. For the things which are seen are temporal, here today and gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen, the doctrines in the Word of God are eternal. And I think back to that time between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. when I was in Germany all by myself and knowing that I had to have surgery the next day, and I knew that there were only two outcomes. I was going to wake up in the recovery room or I was going to wake up in heaven. And I remember how peaceful that was for me because of this. And no amount of money that I had in a bank account ever crossed my mind. Not once. So here's the analogy. You come into Bible study and you learn what's going on out in Satan's kingdom, right? And so it's the equivalent of me giving you a pair of night vision goggles. And so you put it on and you go out there and you look down. And just before you step across the threshold of the world, you look down and you say, hey, there's caca down there. Yeah. I say, yeah, we call it scubula, human excrement. Caca, that's a good word for it. Yeah. And then you look up and you say, you know, it's everywhere. Yeah. Like where? On television? Yeah. In the newspapers? Yeah. In magazines? Yeah. In school? Look, they're teaching our kids about evolution in school. Yeah. There's caca everywhere. Yeah. Can you see it all? Yeah. Yeah, clearly. How do you feel about it? Wow, it's nice to see it. It's kind of depressing, though, and it smells a little bit. Yeah. And then what do? We take off the goggles. We take off the goggles. And then what do we see? We look around and we say, wow, good. It looks good now. Yeah, this looks great. You don't see the caca? No, stepping in it. I don't see anything. I don't see any caca. And you just blend into it. And you say, you know, I'm not going back to that church. I didn't like those goggles. But see, when you come here on a regular basis and you go out into Satan's kingdom, you look at that. You should not get discouraged. You should be ecstatic that you have night vision goggles that you can see that everywhere you step out there is caca. And you're never going to start expecting that it's going to be anything but caca. So you're not going to be shocked. It's like, I can't believe this is caca. This is Satan's kingdom. It's caca kingdom. But we go out there and we take the glasses off, and then all of a sudden we don't see the caca anymore. And then we become caca. Knowledge is not enough. It is God's will that we learn by using our freedom to test the knowledge he gives us with experiences. We voluntarily agree to obey and to execute an eternal plan that has temporal power. And see, when we keep those night vision goggles on, we start talking to people and we say, hey, did you know that it's all caca out here? No. Put these glasses on for a second. Oh, wow, that's a lot of caca. Yeah, come here. I want to show you where it's not caca. Come to Bible study with me. Well, what'll happen when I go there? You'll get your own night vision goggles. John 15:14, you believers in Christ are my friends. This is Jesus Christ talking to his apostles. You believers in Christ are my friends if you do what I request of you. Third class condition, if. Maybe you will and maybe you don't. You won't. You have a choice. We're not simply to learn the word of God by hearing. We're to do the word of God in the world. We are to learn the Christian way of life and then execute the Christian way of living. And we have to know and execute the connection between knowing and doing. And then finally, we assess our effectiveness. Does it show? Is what we're doing in Satan's kingdom working or not? Our use of divine power and its effectiveness. If you're getting persecuted, if people are saying, I don't like the way you do things, you're kind of stupid, you're hitting the mark. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, make it a habit to test yourselves to see if you're living in the sphere of the faith, if you're living by means of the word of God. Examine, that is, prove it to yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves when you're self-examining? That the Lord Jesus Christ is indwelling you, unless indeed you fail the test by proving that you are not in the sphere of the Word of God? We are not to use our freedom, however, as a license to sin. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, a cloak of maliciousness, but use it as if you're bond slaves of God, because you are. If and it's true. So instead, we use our freedom as a choice to serve our sovereign authority. Our self-examination brings these things to the surface so that we can assess whether or not we are progressing in the Christian way of living. And so as we continue our biblical study, as we continue our examination of God's will, the importance of these three simple things, know, grow, and does it show, will give new meaning to your soul, because it's going to lead us right into living the new self life. Let's close with a song about what you are. You are royalty. Thank you. Of guts picking that song with a cold.
I know.
I know the plans that I have for you. Wow. I'm proud of her. You're proud of her? I'm proud of her. It scared me for a minute. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the joy that the Christian way of life is. And thank you for always preparing us for the worst and then giving us the best. And we pray that this might be a year of abundance for those who are in need and those who are in want. Give them what they request and give them the abundance that you had planned for them in eternity past. And for those with much, help them to become generous with it so that they can assist others who are in need in their periphery. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Amen.